Ohio's May primary is less than a week away, and there's only one measure that every voter in the state will see on their ballot, Issue 2. You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me in this recorded interview to explain Issue 2 are Ohio Public Works Commission Director Linda Bailiff. Thanks for being here, Linda.
Thank you.
And Ohio Public Media Statehouse News Bureau Chief Karen Kassler. Welcome back, Karen.
Hi.
Karen, explain briefly, what is Issue 2 on the Ohio ballot? What would it do if it passes?
Well, Issue 2 is essentially a renewal of a initiative that's almost 40 years old, started in 1987. It's a situation where the state borrows a certain amount of money in terms of bonds, and then that money is used in partnership with local communities for infrastructure projects like roads and bridges and water and sewer lines. And these are expensive projects that local communities would have to raise taxes or find money on their own to help fund. So this is a way that the state helps fund those. It's a public works program that, like I said, has been in place for the last almost 40 years. It has to go to voters every time because the Constitution limits how much the state can borrow or how the dollar amount that the bonds that the state can issue. And so every year it's passed that it's come up, and this is the latest renewal. They're increasing the amount, though, to $2.5 billion over 10 years this time.
And Linda, what kinds of projects does this pay for?
It's variety. As Karen said, it pays for roads and bridges, water facilities, water distribution, wastewater, stormwater, even solid waste. So it's a variety of projects, public infrastructure projects. We have the current renewal period. Those projects are available on our website. And people can use an interactive map to look at, I live in this county, what has been done in my community for the past 9 or so years, to give them a sense of what we fund, what we've participated in.
And what is that website address in case anybody's itching to get on their computer and check that out?
Absolutely. It is publicworks.ohio.gov.
Super. Karen, does this have anything to do with the bonds proposed for the Cleveland Browns Stadium?
No. And I think that that's something important, whether you are in favor of using state money to help fund sports facilities or not. It's important to note that there is a difference here, because that is a proposal that's in the state budget that would be $600 million for the state's portion of funding for new stadium for the Cleveland Browns in Brook Park. And this is totally separate. So, and as I understand from talking to the folks who are trying to pass Issue 2, there would be no way for those funds to be used to build a stadium or for some sort of stadium renovations or anything like that. That's just not the way that the money is allocated. It's supposed to be allocated for infrastructure projects like roads and bridges and water and sewer programs.
Linda, is there any concern about voters getting confused about that?
I have heard that occasionally here there's some confusion, but as Karen said, they just cannot. It is these funds, the renewal, constitutionally limited to these projects for public infrastructure, but not sports arenas.
Linda, why has the amount grown to $2.5 billion for this?
You are correct. There's an increase. It has been $200 million for the past 5 years. The Ohio General Assembly has supported gradual increases over the years, nearly 40 years, because project costs increase. The costs of labor and construction material have all gone up, due to construction inflation. What a dollar paid for back in 2019 costs $1.30 today. So, you know, we experience inflation in every aspect of life, as with the construction industry.
That makes sense. Karen, where does the money come from for these bonds to be repaid?
Well, bonds are essentially financial instruments that governments issue to raise money for projects. And like in this one, like we've been saying, these are for infrastructure projects at the local level. And so these are bonds that the state would issue. And the money to pay back those bonds is already built into the state budget. So it's not a tax increase. It's not a reallocation of different funds or whatever. This is money, because this program has been in effect for almost 40 years, it's already in the state budget. And so this would just be essentially renewing the amount of money that the state already is borrowing for these projects, but also increasing it, like I said, because of the, well, and like Linda said, for the increase in dollar amounts for some of these projects, because things have gotten expensive over the almost 40 years of this program being in effect.
Sure. And Linda, you know, Karen was just talking about how this is already built into the budget. So is it state general fund kind of operating dollars that pay back these bonds?
General funds, general revenue. So it's a variety of sources that make up state general revenue. And as she said, the funds are already there. It's just, what can they be used for? So yeah, it's existing money that would be used to pay for the bonds.
And Linda, Karen mentioned that the passage of Issue 2 does not mean there would be a tax increase, but what if Issue 2 were not to pass? Would that lower the tax burden in any way?
It would not. It would have no impact on the burden, because again, it's already, those funds are already a part of the budget. If they're not used for this program, they'll be used for something else. That's just, you know, the nature of state revenue. If anything, the issue has the potential of reducing pressure on local governments for their own tax levies. Capital improvements must be paid for somehow, and there will always be a need for safe roads, bridges, and drinking water.
We're talking in this recorded interview about Ohio Issue 2 on the May 6th ballot. Linda, if Issue 2 does pass, do you know any details about what projects it could help fund in Southwest Ohio? Has any of that been determined yet?
No, because it's an annual competitive process. Local governments probably know, right? It just hasn't come to our attention yet, because local governments have to plan and prepare for, you know, what are we doing next year or the following year? So they're already determining what needs to be done, when it needs to be done. But we have an annual application process, so we're not going to know until we receive those applications. And well, once they're approved through the cycle, through the 19 regional bodies that actually select the projects, recommend them for funding, and then we'll see what they are.
And I want to add to that, because in my coverage of this issue, I was talking to a county engineer in Union County, which is one of the fastest growing counties in the state. And he talked about how these are projects that get scores, essentially. The score can go up depending on the other communities that are involved in this, to try to see what the impact of these projects would be. And then a committee helps choose those projects, and then they're submitted to the state for funding. And so there's also apparently a separate small government fund that really helps communities that are really, you know, less than 5,000 residents. So there's opportunity for local projects really all across the scale.
Linda, that raises a good point. I mean, do these dollars have a much bigger impact in some counties than others? I mean, I guess I wonder how much of a percentage of the budget this makes up for some counties when it comes to the infrastructure spending that they do.
It really does depend on a specific community. So the dollars are allocated on a per capita basis to each of the 88 counties. And then the counties are divided into 19 district committees. As Karen said, there's this competitive process. These bodies are made up of local officials who rate and rank projects based on an approved methodology. This program is for local governments. It's decided by local governments. And the state provides the funding and pays its portion of the bill. So the more that a local government will be providing to help pay for that project might help increase their score, their opportunity to get funded, because everybody has to have a little skin in the game, so to speak.
Linda, you were talking about how it's costing more these days for these infrastructure projects, for these construction projects. Certainly, just about everything costs more these days than they did 40 years ago. But are you also seeing the need for more infrastructure than the state had in 2019 or 10 years ago? It seems like we're always seeing orange barrels on the road. We're always talking about infrastructure. Are the needs greater these days?
I think the need is significant, continues to be significant for repair and replacement. And the program puts an emphasis on repair and replacement over new and expansion. But new and expansion is still eligible under the program. I think a lot of governments are just trying to take care of what they already have. You know, I've had people comment to me, well, this has been going on for decades, and where's the end? Well, there never is an end because infrastructure has a useful life. You come to the end of that useful life, it needs to be taken care of.
Karen, what are you hearing from local governments? Have you talked to any people in local governments across the state who say, hey, we desperately need this? How interested are they in seeing this, the passage of Issue 2?
Oh, there's a lot of interest. Local governments are very interested in this program, very concerned if it doesn't pass. I mean, there's like 80 groups, including the County Engineers Association of Ohio, County Commissioners, who are all on board with this because this is steady funding that they are looking toward when it comes to some of these projects that are, again, pretty costly. And they really do affect people as they get around the community, roads and bridges. I mean, these are some of the most basic things out there. And when I talked to the Union County engineer about this, I brought up the question of, have you thought about what happens if this doesn't pass? And, you know, if it doesn't pass, they don't want to think about that because it would be potentially problematic, putting projects off for longer term, having to think about raising revenue in other ways. These are concerns that local governments have. I think there is a concern that there's confusion over the Brown's bond package and how bonds are complicated things to understand. And maybe voters aren't real clear on the difference between Issue 2 and the Brown's bond package. And also voter turnout is expected to be really low this time around. So there's no organized opposition, but obviously local governments are very interested in seeing people who support this get out and vote for it.
Linda, is any of this funding committed for the Brent Spence Bridge Companion Project or Corridor Project? I know we've talked about that project a lot. That's an infrastructure project that folks in Greater Cincinnati have been watching for years now.
Yeah, it has been years, but no, it would have no impact. The responsibility for the Brent Spence Bridge is shared between the Ohio Department of Transportation and the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet, and State Issue 2 is limited to locally owned infrastructure.
I see. So, Linda, Karen was just talking about how some of these county officials she's talked to are really concerned about what would happen if Issue 2 were to fail. What are you hearing from people? What are they saying it could mean for their local governments if Issue 2 didn't pass this year?
The same thing. We work very closely with county engineers and township trustees and public works officials, and they say that they depend very heavily on the program. We have a county engineer who said recently that they pave 35 miles a year and 25 miles are owed to the program. So it could be pretty painful for them if it doesn't get renewed.
Linda, what other alternatives would local governments have to raise the money they need for these projects if Issue 2 weren't around?
Tax levies. That's what they would have to rely on. And I know some of them already, a number of local governments already utilize tax levies because not one source, not public works, not our program, gas tax, various other grants and loans. No source can be the end all for any local government. You really have to take a combination of sources to pay for all of the infrastructure needs in a community.
And in my conversations with people about this, especially state lawmakers, because this was an issue that state lawmakers did approve to put before voters. And again, there's no official organized opposition to issue two, but there were five conservative Republican lawmakers who did vote against putting it on the ballot. And one of them, Representative Jennifer Gross from Westchester, had told me that she's a member of the DOGE caucus in the House. She wants to look at cutting state spending. She was concerned about the other avenues of revenue that could be used for this kind, these kinds of projects. I mean, like the transportation budget or the capital budget. Transportation budget, of course, funded by the gas tax. The capital budget funded by the general revenue fund, which is sales taxes and income taxes and all that. But this is a different pot of funding. And again, this is funding that's already in the state budget to pay back those bonds. So there's really very little opposition, but there are some people who have questions about why these projects aren't in some other revenue stream.
Karen, we've mentioned that this is going to be on the May 6th ballot in Ohio. How is turnout typically for primaries like this, and how could turnout affect issue two?
Well, I never say that this is an off-year election because there are no off-year elections. There are elections all the time. So this is a non-statewide election in terms of candidates and a non-presidential year. So this is more municipal primaries. You're seeing a lot of mayor's races and school levy questions and that sort of thing. There are definitely things to vote on. This is the only issue, of course, even though it's issue two, which may sound confusing, but that's because the state passed a law that said that we're no longer going to, we're going to have sequential numbering of statewide issues. So issue one was last fall with the redistricting proposal. This year, issue two. And then if there are any statewide issues coming up in November, there'll be issue three or four or whatever. But I think that the concern is just simply that the turnout will be so low that maybe people who are supportive of this won't turn out to vote, but turnout is really, really low. At least what we're seeing right now is, as my colleagues and I are tracking some of the statewide numbers.
So Karen, do you have any sense for whether this is going to pass or fail? I know it can be tricky to predict these things, but
I never predict. If I could predict, I would play the lottery more often. I will tell you that in the past, this issue has come up four times. Once in 1987, the original issue two, and it was issue two then, coincidentally, and it passed by almost 71%. And then in the three renewals that have happened after that, it's passed by over two-thirds of voters twice, or at least two-thirds of voters twice. And then one other time, it was a little bit closer in 2005, it was 54% that approved it. So it's been approved fairly easily, but you know, they're every time it's a challenge to explain to people what the issue is and make sure that people fully understand what they're voting on. You have the opportunity, if you still have questions, to go to the Secretary of State's website, and there are official arguments for and against issue one that are listed there, along with the text of the actual amendment that you'll be voting on.
Okay, official arguments for issue two. Well, we appreciate that tip. I've been talking with Ohio Public Works Commission Director Linda Bailiff and Ohio Public Media State House News Bureau Chief Karen Kassler. Thank you both so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Great to talk to you.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Associate producer is Harper Carlton. Technical director is Marshall Verbsky, and I'm Lucy May. Thanks for listening.